So good afternoon. We're going to open up the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on General Government. Today is June 11th, 2015. So we're going to need some patience on the behalf of folks. As you can tell, Rep. Nathanson and I constitute our team right now. So we're going to open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 55, and we're going to begin to take testimony. As soon as I receive a quorum, however, though, I'm going to recess from that public hearing and move to our work session on our three bills, because I have to get those out today. Once that is done, well, let me share with you. We're going to go till 2 o'clock, and then we're going to recess to a time later today. So I apologize for folks who this may be new to you, but it's the nature of the legislature as we get towards sine die. So I'd ask for everyone's patience on that. All right, are we ready?
We're ready.
Okay, so I'm going to open up the public hearing on Senate Bill 55 relating to debt collection. What do we need to know as we get started?
Okay, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, as we are, let me just, Senate Bill 55 is a fairly inclusive bill, and so let me go through some of the provisions on it just to get a handle on what's going on with this. The bill, subject to rules adopted by the Oregon Department of Administrative Services regarding the form of notice, the measure requires a state agency, as defined in the bill, that requests a person to voluntarily supply Social Security number on any document relating to any monetary obligation or transaction to include on that document a notice disclosing that the Social Security number provided may be used by the state agency for debt collection activities. It also permits DAS to adopt rules and setting procedures for sharing of Social Security numbers between state agencies as well as private collection agencies for the purpose of collecting debts owed to the state, and permits the state agency, the Department of Revenue, and or private collection agency to use the Social Security number to collect any debt owed to the state agency or local government. The measure requires that the annual state agency report to the Legislative Fiscal Office on liquidated and delinquent accounts includes specific information on accounts that are not administratively exempt or otherwise exempt from assignment for collection, that are more than 90 days old but have not been assigned for collection by DOR or assigned for collection to DOR or a private collection agency, and requires that the LFO include a listing of those agencies with accounts with such accounts in the LFO annual report. The measure allows a state agency to add a fee to be paid by the debtor when assigning an account to the DOR for collections if the debtor is notified of the existence of the debt and that debt, and notified that the debt may be assigned to the DOR for collection, and that the amount of the fee that may be added does not is notified to the debtor as well, and it does not limit the fee to the cost of a collection. The bill permits the Department of Revenue or a private collection agency to propose and accept a compromise for settlement for the debt owed to a state agency, and requires that a state agency adopt criteria for determining when offers of compromise may be made. The criteria must be approved by the Department of Administrative Services and the Attorney General, or by the Chief Justice in the case of courts and commissions, departments, and divisions of the judicial branch. The bill requires the Department of Revenue to make all reasonable efforts in collection of any delinquent account owing to the state agency or to the a county in place of a current statutory requirement requiring the DOR to utilize all means available to collect the debt. The measure also directs DAS to adopt policies providing guidance for the collection of state agency liquidated and delinquent accounts, setting procedures for state agencies to manage information and records pertaining to the agency's liquidated and delinquent accounts, agency added fees or charges to liquidated and delinquent accounts, setting exemptions or adjustments for agencies that are prohibited from adding or collecting additional fees, for the improvement of communication between agencies, Department of Revenue, and private collection agencies regarding liquidated and delinquent accounts, describing conditions under which a state agency may request and collect Social Security numbers in accordance with state and federal law, and setting criteria for the proposal and acceptance of offers of compromise. The measure goes on to require state agencies to make all reasonable efforts to collect delinquent accounts owed to them, including the set off of refunds or sums due from the debtor to the state agency, the DOR, or any other state agency. And it requires DAS to adopt rules establishing procedures for the offset amounts between state agencies. Finally, it directs DAS to estimate the biennial cost of carrying out the provisions related or the provisions required under the bill of Department of Administrative Services, and to determine each state agency's share of those expenses. And it directs DAS to impose a fee on state agencies to collect those expenses, and dedicates the fee to the Delinquent Accounts Administration Fund established in the State Treasury for payment of expenses of DAS related to provisions of the measure.
Perfect. Thank you. All right, so we're going to be open the public part of the public hearing. I'm going to do my best to get your names correct here. If we could have Gary and I believe Catherine and Eli. If the three, do we have three seats up there? We have two. Okay, so let's just go with Gary and is it Catherine? Yeah, please come on up.
And while they're preparing, Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Yes, Representative Nathanson.
I have a couple of comments I would like to make on behalf of Representative Taylor, who can't be here. And I'm not sure if this is the sort of thing you'd rather me say from here or if you'd rather me go to the testimony table.
Here's what I would do, Representative. You tell me where you'd be most comfortable. That's where we will go.
I'm just going to stay here and take my turn, though, when it's time. Okay.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to let Representative Nathanson share her comments for the record, and then we'll move to you, Gary.
Okay.
Okay, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 55A is written. Has carve-outs for Oregon Judicial Department, Secretary of State, and Oregon Treasury Department from parts of 55A. Also, some semi-independent agencies, board commissions, are statutorily exempt from certain accounting and financial requirements. Representative Taylor has done a nice job of describing for me how two amendments work, and I hope that this committee will be willing to entertain amendments. The Dash 8 and the Dash 11 align the reporting requirements of these entities so that LFO can produce a comprehensive picture of all liquidated and delinquent debt. Specifically, Dash 8 amends the requirements for the annual LFO report on state agency debt and puts the same reporting requirements on OJD, SOS, and Treasury. It also would require the debt information to be listed separately for the executive and judicial branches of state government and for the Secretary of State and for the Treasury. It's all contained in the same report, but it will clearly spell out where the debt lives. The Dash 11 adds various semi-independent state agencies and public corporations to the liquidated and delinquent debt reporting requirements. These entities would have to report debt information to LFO and would be included in the annual LFO report. They are currently exempt. With these two amendments, along with a Dash 9 and Dash 10 that I believe you will hear about, the annual LFO report will give a clearer picture of the totality of state agency debt.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Nathanson. And we want to get on the record that Representative Taylor is excused today and that she has just been a strong advocate in helping us advance Senate Bill 55 and adding amendments to Senate Bill 55. And we appreciate all the good work that she's been doing. So, Gary, thank you for your patience. Please.
Thank you. Co-Chair Smith, members of the committee, I am Gary Blackmer, Director of the Secretary of State Audits Division, and I'm here to talk about how we got involved because it'll help you get a little sense of the background of this bill. That the Senate Bill 55A, as you have received it, has gone through a number of committees. It was initiated by the Institute for Modern Government. Catherine next to me will probably talk about that in a little more detail, but what essentially happened was we had made a presentation on four additions we thought would make the bill better. Two of those got into Senate Bill 55A, two did not, which are contained in Amendment 9 that's before you. So what I'd like to do is quickly go through and explain kind of the two that are in there that we had presented on and then the two that are not and kind of the rationale behind it. So we are in the midst of an audit, and we don't normally kind of issue something preliminarily until we've finished an audit, but we felt like the timing was right for us to stop an area that we were working on, put the analysis through our quality control process, and make the presentation. And the four top issues that we raised were we felt like there needed to be a central authority to oversee collections. We thought that there should be improved performance reporting on what activities were happening. The other agency accounts in Department of Revenue needed some issues and some changes to how it operated, and also to authorize state vendor offsets. So what happened in the A and Gross version was the Department of Revenue other agency accounts got incorporated. The authorizing the state vendor offset got incorporated. The two others that did not were establishing a central authority. And the rationale we had from that was that when we talked to other states that were more successful in collections, we found that they had developed an enterprise-wide authority with strategic reporting responsibilities that could help agencies collect, make sure it was a high enough priority, improve accountability and transparency. We felt like DAS was in a good position to do this. It's had responsibilities like this in the past, and we felt like its oversight and monitoring responsibilities could help make sure that you were well informed on what was happening in terms of collections efforts. I would want to emphasize that it takes dedicated personnel to make this work, and it isn't really a part-time job, and that asking DAS to do more than it is doing in this particular area would need more resources. So this is the committee, I guess, that needs to hear that, so I wanted to emphasize that. The fourth area that was not involved, that did not get into the bill, had to do with improved performance reporting. Currently, the agencies all report to the Legislative Fiscal Office on some very simple statistics on what's collected. We got the information that was provided to them by the agencies, did more analysis, and found a lot of interesting disparities. And we felt like it was important for someone to kind of look at the data that was coming in, analyze it, look for agencies that were more successful than others, compare practices, and in that way, look for ways that they could boost the collections efforts. So what we recommended was that there be an annual management report, in addition to the LFO report, that would include more of these kinds of analyses. We felt like those kinds of reports would keep you more informed. It would be more transparent on what the various agencies were providing, and it would also help DAS provide an overview and feedback to agencies and help them in strategies for improving collections. So we felt like we didn't necessarily want to prescribe what those measures ought to be or what that report ought to look like, because from our perspective, one question often leads to another, and kind of if I'm always afraid that if we specify things too detailed a manner, that's all we get. That it's sometimes better to challenge people to continually look and analyze and improve. And so to that extent, I think that's a role that fits in with that centralized oversight role that DAS has. So I would encourage you to adopt Amendment 9, which includes the two areas that we felt would make a big difference in terms of collections results. Okay.
Thank you very much. Gary, appreciate your comments. Okay, so Catherine, I'm going to have to put you on hold.
Okay.
And so if you folks could step on back, that would be perfect. And okay. Eli and Rochelle and Rod, it's going to be a little while. And so I'm going to recess our public hearing on Senate Bill 55. I'm going to open up a work session on House Bill 5046. Mr. Rocco.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee. House Bill 5046 is, with the Dash 1 amendment, will be the continuing resolution. Basically, this just allows state agencies without governor-signed legislatively adopted budgets for the next biennium to continue operations at the same level that they have been spending in the last quarter of the 13-15 biennium. This is a standard bill that we do every sessions to allow government to keep operating. It does not mean that we're going to be here until July. It just means that we are going to make sure agencies can continue to spend after until they get a signed budget.
Thank you, Mr. Rocco. Madam Co-Chair.
Sorry, Mr. Chair. I move House Bill 5046 to the full Committee on Ways and Means I'm sorry, move to adopt the Dash 1 amendment. I apologize.
Madam Co-Chair moves the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 5046. Colleagues, is there any discussion on this? Is there any opposition? Seeing none, so moved. Madam Co-Chair.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 5046 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Madam Co-Chair moves House Bill 5046 as amended to the full Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion, colleagues? Seeing none, is there any opposition? Seeing none, so approved. Madam Co-Chair, would you carry this to full Ways and Means?
Yes, and could we note that Senator Johnson and Senator Whitsitt are excused?
Oh, and yeah, and Senator Johnson, Senator Whitsitt, and Representative Taylor are excused. Perfect.
And Senator Devlin is present.
And Senator Devlin is present.
In case someone's not.
We right can't have. Okay.
He's going to be right outside.
All right. Don't leave us.
He'll be here.
All right.
And House Carrier.
Representative Nathanson, would you carry this?
All right.
Representative Nathanson.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Rocco. Okay, we're going to close the work session on House Bill 5046. We're going to open up a work session.
Senator in here.
Which one? You want
to
go DAS? Senate Bill 5502. We're opening up that work session. Paul, what do we need to know?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 5502 is the budget bill for the Department of Ministry of Services. I'll be working through the work session presentation report that's posted on OLIS. Starting with page one is the agency summary page that you've become familiar with. Page two is the totals for the chief operating office. The first package is 101. This package continues two limited duration project manager one positions that were first added in 13-15 to work on statewide initiatives. Package 801 is an LFO adjustment. This makes a revenue only change to reduce revenues from assessments and rates charged to state agencies by others and others by $400,000, with direction to use beginning balance funds instead. This will provide only temporary reduction to rates and assessments, since revenues will need to increase in 2017-19 once fund balances are exhausted. Package 802, vacant positions. This package reclassifies a vacant Economist 4 position downward to an Economist 2. The position had not been filled due to a mismatch in program needs with the original position classification. Moving on to the Chief Financial Office on page 7 of 64. Package 102 restores one of two positions that had been eliminated in earlier biennia by restoring a policy and budget analyst position to help with the statewide audit and budget reporting section of the CFO's office. This would add one position, 0.88 FTE, as the position is phased in on 10-1-2015. Package 103, Strengthened Capital Investment Section. This adds a permanent policy and budget analyst position, again starting on 10-1-2015, to the Capital Finance Section to assist with management of growing outstanding debt and responsibilities of managing the sales of bonds for the state. Package 104, on page 9 of 64, is Capital Facility Planning. This package adds $2 million in professional services supplies to conduct condition assessments of state-owned facilities. The funds will be used in 1570 to complete reviews of capital facilities operated by the Departments of Corrections, Forestry Department, and Department of Fish and Wildlife. This package is added on a one-time basis, and that's a $2 million other funds increase. Package 104 is one of a number of packages that undoes some of the reorganization that had occurred in a previous biennia to recombine staff for various programs. This one recombines procurement staff. This would move some positions out of the CFO's office and recombine the two components of the procurement program into a single comprehensive unit. So you'll see another package later in the recommendation that adds these positions and expenditure authority to another program unit. The same with package 142, recombine the Orbit staff. This actually adds some staff from ETS into the CFO's office that are connected with the Orbits, which is the budget system. The two positions being moved from ETS are both information system specialist eights. Package 801, LFO analyst adjustments, makes a revenue only change to reduce revenues from assessments and rates charged to state agencies and others by $600,000. With direction to use beginning fund balances instead. Again, this will provide only temporary relief from rates and reduction increases, since revenues will need to increase again in 17-19 once fund balances are exhausted. Package 802, vacant positions. This package eliminates a vacant administrative specialist 2 position for savings of $144,088 of other funds. Moving on to the Chief Information Office, Page 15 of 64 is package 105, develop new governance structure for IT. This package makes significant investment in the CIO's office, adding five information technology analysts, two positions to act as strategic technology officers, and one ISS 8 as an enterprise project manager. There's also an executive support position added. In addition, there are a number of, there are three IT analyst one positions to staff the new StageGate review. The package also adds an ISS 7 position to the current enterprise, or two ISS 7 positions to the current enterprise architecture and design team. The package total is $3,423,178, 12 positions and 12 FTE. Package 106, statewide interoperability program. This program continues a limited duration position to support the statewide interoperability executive council and implement FirstNet, which is a broadband network designed to improve public safety data communications. The position is funded 60% by the FirstNet grant and 40% through CIO assessments through July of 16. The approval of this package increases assessment only for the 40% portion of the SWIC position funded by DAS. The total package is $708,531 with one position, one FTE. Package 141, recombine the geospatial staff. This moves some staff from the ETS into the CIO's office that are related to the geospatial program. Package 801, LFO analyst adjustments. This package adds other fund expenditure limitation for pass-through payments for contracts and one-time expenditure limitations. $2.4 million is added for the geospatial contract with a service provider. Additional $2 million in other funds expenditure limitation for pass-through payments on quality assurance contracts that under state policy must be held by the CAO. Funds for the QA contracts will come from the project agency. It also adds $250,000 of other funds on a one-time basis to complete the purchase of the new project portfolio management software, $786,467 other funds for the initial cost of the software were approved at the December 2014 meeting of the emergency board. Delays in finalizing the purchase has delayed some of the purchase costs in the 15-17 biennium. So the package adds $250,000 on a one-time basis to complete the purchase. Approval of this package does not increase CIO assessments as expenditure limitations is either considered pass-through or one-time carry-forward limitation. And that's $4,650,000 of other funds. Package 803, LFO technical adjustment. And this adds $372,203 of other funds expenditure limitation to pay the maintenance costs of the new project portfolio management software. The package also adds $131,600 for ongoing cost of the Tenable Security Solutions software purchased in 13-15. And also adds $500,000 of other funds for the CIO's use of the GEO software costs that will be paid through assessments. That's a total of $1,003,803 of other funds. Moving on to the Chief Human Resource Office, Package 101 adds one position to help develop workforce strategies, including establishing career development programs, improve recruitment retention, and expand the internship opportunities. This position is phased in on 10-1 of 15. Package 111, develop information management capacity. This adds a permanent OP Operations and Policy Analyst 4 position, again phased in on 10-1 of 2015, to improve management of HR information to better identify current and future human resource trends and needs in state government. Package 801, this package continues two limited duration human resource consultant 2 positions for 12 months, one FTE to continue work on the Oregon Management Project. The purpose of this project is to redesign and reconfigure the state's workforce systems, compensation, classification, performance management to support the right people in the right job at the right time. According to the project charter, the Oregon Management Project must initially focus on management positions. The positions will be funded through a reduction in SNS, so there's no overall increase in expenditures. This package is added on a one-time basis for 2 positions and 1 FTE, limited duration. Moving on to Enterprise Technology Services. Package 112, Security and IT Operations Audit Support. This package adds other fund expenditure limitation and limited duration positions to implement recent Secretary of State and independent auditor findings, as well as accommodate growth in agency usage of IT services. Given the uncertainty involving which services ETS will offer in the future, because of the ongoing IT common service delivery review that's underway and concerns over management of ETS, which has resulted in a number of reviews and audits. The positions are approved as limited duration for 12 months only. DAS will return to the 2016 legislative session with recommendations on service lines provided, operational changes, and revised funding methodology for ETS for the second year of the biennium, as detailed in the budget note for ETS, which we will get to in a little bit. Package 141 is some of the, again, the series of recombining staff that had been split apart in previous reorgs. This moves the geospatial staff out of the ETS program area. Package 142 moves the orbit staff out of the ETS program area. This package 144 recombines the publishing and distribution staff and moves two positions, an ISS 6 and an ISS 7, back into the program from which they were originally left. Package 801, LFO analyst adjustments. This adds 9 limited duration positions, 9 FTE, at the request of the state CIO to assist in this office's overview of ETS operations, management, and funding structures. The positions are funded through an equal reduction in SNS for an overall increase in the ETS budget. This package also reduces ETS assessments by $10,146,095 through elimination of the depreciation cost component included in the assessment funding model approved by the DAS director for the 15-17 biennium. Inclusion of this assessment, when added on top of the 2013-15 actions to increase ETS funding for equipment replacement by $18,743,503 for 15-17, effectively required agencies to be billed by DAS for replacement cost twice. There is also a budget note related to ETS and ETS rates assessment, again, that we will be getting to later. This is a overall reduction of $10,146,095, an increase of 9 positions and 9 FTE. Package 802, vacant positions, eliminates 19 vacant positions in the ETS for a savings of $4,320,355 other funds and a reduction of 19 positions, 19 FTE. Package 803, LFO technical adjustments. This removes other fund expenditure limitation related to services previously provided to the Oregon Lottery. During the 13-15 biennium, Lottery stopped using almost all ETS services. Only $393,864 of other funds related to services for some remote locations remains in the ETS budget after this adjustment. That's it for the Enterprise Technology Services. Moving on to Enterprise Asset Management. Package 120, purchase of fleet vehicles. This package authorizes the purchase of about 75 new vehicles along with maintenance and fuel costs. The package is funded with ending balances from vehicle sales, and there's no increase in 15-17 rates if approved. The Customer Utility Board recommending using the funds to replace about 150 vehicles rather than issue refunds in 13-15 or lower 15-17 rates. Instead, this package directs EAM, the Enterprise Asset Management, to use $2,039,152 reduced from this package to lower rates for fleet costs for the 15-17 biennium. Package 123 transfers a custodial position to PERS. There's some changes in DAS custodial services. Led PERS determined that their custodial needs could best be met through direct provision of service. So this is a transfer of a position working up in PERS currently. Package 124, Governor's Office Regional Solution Centers. This adds expenditure limitation to pay the cost of the Governor's Office decision to have DAS rent space for the Regional Solution Centers around the state. Participating agencies are then billed for rents. No other funds expenditure limitation was initially provided to accommodate this expense in the DAS budget, which is reduced limitation for the Real Estate Services Others programs. This is pass-through limitation only, and approval of this package will not increase DAS rates or assessments. That's an increase of $402,900 of other funds. Package 801, LFO analyst adjustment. This package reclassifies 3 procurement and contract special position in real estate services to operation and policy analyst 4s due to the increased responsibilities that positions are taking on in the real estate program's efforts to save the state money on property leases. This change increases personal services by $48,764 other funds. 802 vacant positions. This package eliminates 1 program analyst 1 position that had been vacant for 12 months or more for a savings of $186,001 other funds, reduction of 1 position and 1 FTE. Moving on to enterprise goods and services. I'm starting on package on page 39 of 64, package 126, support shared payroll services as an OPA 1 position, again phased in on 10-1-2015 to help with staffing with growth in the number of agencies using the shared payroll services. Package 127 adds an OPA 1 position that will serve as contact between state agencies, PERS, and employees to resolve account discrepancies. This position will also reconcile retirement contributions to employee earnings, which has not happened for some time. This reconciliation is required by PERS. The start date of this position, the new position is 10-1-2015. That's an increase of $130,277. Other funds, one position, 1.88 FTE. Package 129, strengthen the shuttle delivery service, establishes two permanent mail delivery drivers, 1.76 FTE, again phased in on 10-1-2015. To add shuttle stops as requested by customers, this would allow the expansion of DASA's secure package tracking service, or PackTrack, which is cheaper than third-party shippers. Package 130, strengthen risk management. This adds a operations policy analyst 2 position, again phased in at 10-1-2015 to provide additional training, claims management, and analytical work for risk management. Agency outreach on means to reduce risk would be the main focus of this position. Package 132, support additional client agencies. This package makes limited duration accountant 3 position permanent that was added to support the addition of Treasury as a shared financial services client. The position again starts on 10-1-2015. Package 140, recombined procurement staff. This package reverses some of those decisions and moves funding and positions out of the CFO's office and into enterprise goods and services to have all of the procurement staff in one program unit. It's an increase of $1,595,563. Other funds, 4 positions and 4 FTE. Package 144 recombines the publishing and distribution staff. Again, you saw a companion package that removed these positions and funding out of ETS. Package 801, LFO analyst adjustments. This package makes a revenue-only change to reduce revenues from assessments and rates charged to state agencies and others by $9 million, with a reduction to use beginning fund balances instead. Again, this will provide only temporary reduction to rates and assessments since revenues will need to increase in 15-17 once fund balances are exhausted. The package also rebalances service supplies expenditures by category in the risk management base budget to reflect actual S&S expenditures, including increasing the Attorney General line while reducing other S&S accounts to better reflect how the budget is actually expended. These actions will result in no increase in S&S expenditures by risk management. Package 802, vacant positions. This package eliminates a vacant information specialist, a system specialist position for savings of $139,324. Other funds, and a reduction of one position, one FTE. Enterprise Human Resource Services, package 133, strengthen human resource client services, adds 3 permanent positions, and increases months on 2 existing positions needed to meet service level agreements reached with the Customer Utility Board for shared client services. The increased workload has been addressed this biennium through limited duration position and temporary employees. The 4 positions being created, 10-1-15, are human resource assistant, 1 human resource analyst 2, and a human resource consultant 1. Months are added to human resource analyst 2 and a human resource consultant 1. Even with the increase in staffing this package would add, DAS will still be below the HR to employee ratio benchmarks assumed. The assumed start date for the new positions again is 10-1-2015. And that is it for that program unit. Moving on to DAS Business Services. Package 134, strengthened the DBS business support. This makes a permanent OPA 2 added in 13-15 as limited duration to assist with workload increases associated with assistance to customer utility boards. It's an increase of $155,188. Other funds, 1 position and 0.88 FTE. Package 135, support increased budget workload, makes permanent a fiscal analyst 2 position added in 13-15 on a limited duration position, a basis to assist with workload increases associated with DAS policy offices, policy office budgets, as well as processing and tracking numerous special government payments. This adds $155,188. Other funds, 1 position and 0.88 FTE. Package 143, Mass Ingenuity. This package adds other funds expenditure limitation for the Mass Ingenuity Master contract approved at the December 2012 meeting of the Emergency Board. Mass Ingenuity provides process improvement software, including the NOW management system being offered to state agencies. This expenditure limitation is considered pass-through limitations, since state agencies will pay DAS for the use of contracted services. Therefore, this addition has no impact on internal overhead rates DBS receives from DAS programs. That's an increase of $2 million to other funds. The next program unit is capital improvement. There is no changes to the capital improvement program area. We're recommending the current service level. Capital construction, this program unit is included just to show that all the capital construction limitation is removed in this budget.
So we have a question.
Yeah.
Representative Nathanson.
I just thought it would be interesting to give you a moment to catch your breath. Not really.
I'm so glad I don't have seven subcommittees meeting all at once.
I do have a question. On the previous page, you mentioned an amount for Mass Ingenuity. Is this the only contract with Mass Ingenuity, or is this only one of a number of contracts the state has with Mass Ingenuity?
Mr. Chair and Representative Nathanson, it is supposed to be the master contract, so that a number of agencies were contracting for this service, and my understanding is they should all be using the master contract through DAS now.
I'd appreciate it if you would confirm with DAS that they truly all have been consolidated so that we can see our total commitment to this kind of work, this kind of IT work. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nathanson will definitely do that. Moving back to capital construction, again, this is just inserted here so that you see that the capital construction limitation is removed from this budget and is being considered by the capital construction subcommittee. The shared services fund, this on page 57 of 64, package 801, LFO analyst adjustment, adds $1 other funds expenditure limitation on a one-time basis for gain share payments only to be used if needed. Current law requires DAS to make gain share payments. However, proposed changes to the program would make these direct revenue transfers, in which case this expenditure limitation placeholder would not be needed. If for some reason the envisioned changes do not happen and current law remains unchanged, this placeholder could be adjusted to allow payments to be made as required by current law as a $1 other funds expenditure limitation. Moving on to the DAS debt service, again, we're recommending a current service level after the base budget adjustments for DAS debt service. The bond program unit on page 59 of 64 represents the pension obligation bond payments the state owes. And that's a current service level number. And moving on to special government payments on page 61 of 64. Package 138, State Fairgrounds. This package represents general fund support for the State Fair that is transferred from the base budget of the Parks and Recreation Department, which had previously operated the State Fair. This funding will be transferred to the State Fair Council, a non-state agency, which now operates the State Fairgrounds. This is a general fund of $1,015,299 general fund. On page 62 of 64, package 801, LFO analyst adjustments, this package provides for one-time increases support for the Oregon Historical Society of $375,000 general fund, Oregon Public Broadcasting of $250,000 general fund, and county fairs of $216,000 lottery funds, or $6,000 per county, for a total funds package of $841,000. Package 803, LFO technical adjustment. This package adds one-time other funds expenditure limitation for disbursement of lottery proceeds for projects approved during 13-15 that can't be completely disbursed in the current biennium. The project recipients are Beaverton Healthcare Collaborative, the Umatilla Tribe, and the City of Staten. This is a $5,500,000 other funds expenditure limitation, again, added on a one-time basis. Package 811, updated base debt service adjustment. This is a statewide package that the Legislative Fiscal Office is using to adjust debt service based on the most recent calculations. And these would be a reduction of $3,905,725 of lottery funds debt service. And that is it for the LFO recommendations.
All right.
On Senate Bill 5502.
Madam Co-Chair.
Mr. Chair. I move the LFO recommendation to SB 5502.
Madam Co-Chair moves the DAS recommendations to Senate Bill 5502. Colleagues, is there any discussion on this?
I just texted him. He's coming right back. I told him not to go away, but he didn't.
But we do have a motion. Does anyone have any discussion on this? Yeah, Representative Comp.
Well, I have to give a pitch for, I appreciate the amount of money that's coming out of the state parks for the state fair. The state fair is just north of us here, and I truly believe that we can make the state fair into a profitable institute in this state if we added Six Flags.
I'm all in favor of that. I'm a huge roller coaster fanatic.
Whatever. I mean, you talk. I can get Six Flags headquarters on the phone, so we can negotiate something.
Okay. I'm all for that.
So one of the things I would share with the committee is that back in 2005, it was Representative Susan Morgan who actually moved the state fairs into the state parks, and the purpose of that was to do everything we could to protect the state fair. And so I can share with you, Republicans are going to actually be watching this very, very closely, because the state fair is important to the Republican caucus. So,
Mr. Chair, it is.
And to others.
And, well, it is to me. I mean, I showed my animals at the state fair, too, but, you know, water parks and that stuff are really nice.
They are. Okay. Is there any opposition to the motion before us? Seeing none, so approved.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the Dash 1 amendment. Skipped everything, sorry.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, LFO is recommending approval of the 8 new key performance measures and deletion of 7 previous key performance measures, with the direction of the department develops target for the new measures as part of the 17-19 budget request.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair.
Now I'm going to move the LFO recommendations on key performance measures.
So Madam Co-Chair moves the LFO recommendations on key performance measures. Is there any discussion on this?
Yes. I thought that Mr. Naughton, as the acting director, would like 7 or 8 more key performance measures.
Senator Devlin, you're here to vote and not to talk.
All right. See no opposition. They're approved. So we have some budget notes before us.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, there are 3 budget notes related to the Department of Administrative Services as outlined in the memo dated June 8, 2015 from the Legislative Fiscal Office. The first one deals with agencies other than DAS providing administrative services to state agencies. The second one, as referenced, is the Enterprise Technology Services budget note that has them reporting back in during the February 2016 session. And number 3 is a budget note owning only an LFO analyst would appreciate a use of accounting mechanisms to circumvent the limiting of other fund expenditure limitations.
So Madam Co-Chair, I move the LFO recommended budget notes.
So Madam Co-Chair moves the LFO recommended budget notes. Is there any discussion, colleagues? Is there any opposition? Seeing none, so approved.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Legislative Fiscal Office recommends a budget of $9,974,458 general fund, $16,641,096 lottery funds, $849,305,451 of other funds, 815 positions, which is 805.70 FTE, which is reflected in the Dash 1 amendment.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 5502.
So Madam Co-Chair moves adoption of the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 5502. Colleagues, any discussion? Is there any opposition? Seeing none, so approved. Madam Co-Chair.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 5502 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
All right, so Madam Co-Chair moves Senate Bill 5502 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any opposition? Seeing none, so approved. So, Madam Co-Chair, I'm going to ask if you would carry this to the full Committee on Ways and Means.
Yes, sir.
And then to the floor.
Yes.
And I'll carry this on the House floor.
Yes, sir.
Of its complicated nature.
Yep.
Before I close this, I really, really want to thank Paul for his work on this. This is a big lift, colleagues. This
yes.
is a lot of work.
Huge.
And so, job well done. And thank you to the department for all the work you folks have done as well. I'm going to close the work session on 5502. Are we good with that?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to close the work session. We're going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 777 relating to savings accounts for disability-related expenses. We're now open. Welcome, sir. Can you give us a brief overview?
Yes, good afternoon, co-chairs and members of the subcommittee. Before you is
7 related to savings accounts for disability-related expenses. The measure has an effective date on the 91st day after adjournment and is operative for the 2016 tax year. The ABLE program is to be established by the state treasurer by no later than January 1st, 2017. The measure had a public hearing in the subcommittee on June 2nd, 2015. The work session packet includes a draft budget report, and 2 amendments are available on OLIS, and there is also a revised revenue impact statement. And if I may review the 2 amendments ever so briefly, there's a -3 amendment. Members of the committee, the -B3 amendment makes explicit that the balance in the ABLE account will not be used for means testing for state disability programs and would allow the Oregon ABLE program to accept deposits from outside of the state. There is a -B4 amendment, which is the fiscal amendment. It creates subaccounts for the college and ABLE programs, appropriates general fund for the program, and stipulates the repayment of general fund once ABLE revenue is available.
So let's move motion number 1 first, Madam Co-Chair.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the -B3 amendment to Senate Bill 777.
Okay, so we've got a motion to move the B3 amendments to Senate Bill 777. Colleagues, is there any discussion on this? Is there any opposition? Seeing none, so adopted. Why don't we move the next amendment as well, Madam Co-Chair?
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the -B4 amendment to Senate Bill 777.
Okay, so Madam Co-Chair moves the -B4 amendments to Senate Bill 777. Colleagues, any discussion? Any opposition? Seeing none, so adopted. John, back to you.
Mr. Co-Chair, members of the subcommittee, I believe you now just need to...
We're ready to go.
Cool.
Madam Co-Chair.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 777 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation as modified by the -B3 and the B4 amendments.
Okay, so we have a motion here to move Senate Bill 777 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation as modified by the B3 and the B4 amendments. Is there any discussion? Any opposition? Seeing none, so approved. So I know Senator Gelsler is going to carry this on the Senate floor. Mr. Co-Chair, is there anyone you would prefer in full Ways and Means to carry this?
I'm trying to think of this issue.
Madam Co-Chair, can you carry it?
Sure.
Must be a House.
No.
You'll still need a House member.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm happy to carry it, but I don't care, whatever you want.
Representative Comp, will you carry this?
Sure.
Okay, so Representative Comp will carry it. Is that all right?
It's fine.
Okay, so Representative Comp, I'm going to ask you to carry it on full Ways and Means and to the House floor and then on the Senate floor. Did I just bump you?
I'm fine.
No, that's fine.
You gave me plenty to do today, Mr.
Okay.
So I got Representative the continuing resolution and DAS.
Yeah, okay. So Rep. Comp, if you'll carry it in full Ways and Means and on the House floor.
Sure.
And then we have Senator Gelsler. We all know who.
She just came from here.
I know. She's a great senator. She'll be carrying it on the Senate floor. Is there anything we need to do on Senate Bill 777? Are we good? I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 777. All right. Colleagues, we're now going to go back to the public hearing on Senate Bill 55. That's it. 2 5s.
I know.
We're going to... Let me open this up. How would you like to handle this?
We started it before.
Are you cool rescheduling? Let's do this really quick, colleagues. I want to, folks who are planning to testify, have any of you come further than 25 miles away? All right. We're going to carry this over to Monday. I apologize. I know that stinks, but it is the nature of session at this point. So thank you for being patient with us. All right. The House has to be up on the floor in 2 minutes. Julie, are we good? All right. So I'm going
to
close then the public hearing. All right. We are now closing the public hearing. We're going to carry it over to Monday. And colleagues, we're going to close our subcommittee. Have a great day. Our subcommittee. Have a great day. Going to close.